Today we're going to be discussing the Iowa Veterans Home. It's one of the largest of the 148 facilities for veterans in the nation, opening doors to Iowa veterans and their spouses in 1887. In 2008, the Iowa legislature overwhelmingly approved a $100 million improvement project for the Iowa Veterans Home. This multi-phase project had been years in the making and had the support of all of Iowa's veterans groups. The goal was to improve the lives of veterans and their families by modernizing the Iowa Veterans Home and moving away from impersonal hospital and nursing home housing to a more community-based approach. This four-phase project was one of a handful approved for significant federal funding. After an extensive competitive application project, the Iowa project was awarded federal matching funds at a 65-35 split. Every dollar invested by Iowa taxpayers would be matched by almost two federal dollars. Today, 6 years later, phase one has been completed. However, decisions by the Branstad administration resulted in the loss of millions of dollars in federal funds that had been approved for the rest of the project. Key questions we'll be asking today include, why did the Branstad administration delay and abandon improvements for Iowa veterans and their families at the Iowa Veterans Home? How did Iowa lose millions of dollars in approved federal matching funding? And does the Branstad administration have a plan to keep the promises made to Iowa veterans, and will it cost Iowa taxpayers more money? Just a little bit of housekeeping for today. Each of our guests will be asked to take an oath, and that will be issued by Legislative Services Agency. As I mentioned earlier, Legislative Services Agency will also be taking the minutes of today's meeting and audio recording. So Deb, you're doing a lot today, so thank you for that. Each speaker will also have an opportunity to make an opening statement, and we'd ask each of our presenters to make sure that their mic is on, and members of the committee, when you're asking a question, to make sure that your mic is on when you're asking questions so that we can get that into the recording. And with that, we will go to our first presenter.
I'd like to make a couple of, ask a couple questions, I guess, before we start, just for clarification. Are there any materials that you have that have not been distributed to the committee as a whole?
All materials that I have received have been posted on the legislative website and government oversight. As soon as materials have come in, just as we did during session, those were posted. Okay. I will say original emails that were posted, the AG asked for those to be removed because Department of Administrative Services had mistakenly given some emails that they were not supposed to have made public, but I believe that those emails are now posted. The ones that are to be public are all posted. All materials are available on our committee website, just as we did during session.
Okay, and my next question is, are there going to be time limits for the speakers and or questions? We have several people here to speak, and the time frame's a little short. I wondered if there are any rules of that sort or not. I didn't know that there were, but...
No, we were going to let the committee members ask the questions that they have. I know it's harder for us to get our group together with distances members have to travel, so the one speaker that we need to make sure that we meet with him on time will be Gary Forshee, who's joining us by phone. And so we'll make sure. Otherwise, there are no time limits.
And are there any time limits on the amount of time that presenters have to make their opening statements?
I don't have any time limits for their opening statement.
Okay.
I think we should let them just make their statement.
Okay. Well, I'm just inquiring so that I know. Okay. Thank you.
Are there other questions from committee members before we get started? Okay, seeing none, our first guest is Mark Higgins. Mark, if you'd join us at the end of the table, appreciate it. Mark is Executive Vice President of Schimmer and Associates, the firm which oversaw the start of the Iowa Veterans Home Project. Thank you for being here, Mark. Do you wish to make an opening statement? Oh, goodness, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting my duties already. Deb, will you?
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I have no opening statement, just to introduce myself. Mark Higgins, architect and executive vice president of the Schemmer Associates, architects, engineers, and planners. As you have noted, designers of the master plan, phase one.
Okay, Senator Shane John.
Thank you. Thanks for being here today, Mark. I appreciate your time. Could you please just provide a short background on the RFP process for phase one and the planning grant for us? If you were the original architect on the project, correct?
An RFP was issued by the purchasing division of DSA for facility assessment and master planning. And that was in August of 2006. And so there was a period of responses by interested firms. I think a shortlisting, there was an interview process, and then we were selected and engaged at the beginning of 2007.
And could you show us like the phases of, say, phase one, or tell us about phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, so for the benefit of everyone, so they kind of understood or understand how the project was supposed to occur?
I do have some graphic images
that
I can share with the committee if that would help.
Yes, it would. Thank you.